All right. Good evening, all. I'm James. If you don't know me, I'm happy to meet you after the service. As you can see tonight, I'm going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit of peace, which should be good. So I'm going to start off by talking about how God is peaceful, how Christians can be at peace with God, and then I'm going to finish with three ways that we should see peace work out in our lives. So that's the plan. Let's go. So firstly, God shows his peaceful character all throughout the Bible. One example from the Old Testament here is in that Isaiah recognizes in exile, let's remember, the peace that God displays and gives to his people. He says, "Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us." And that's a great example of peace. But ultimately, we see God's peacefulness best displayed through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18 sums it up nicely. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Jesus' sacrifice here brings people to God. That's fantastic. And that is peaceful. But it's only peaceful when you realize that without him doing that, you would be apart from God. Because by our own actions, we actually separate ourselves from God. But through God's intervention, through Jesus, the righteous Jesus died for the unrighteous us to bring us to God, to bring us into peace with God. For Christians, it restores the relationship that was broken. Sins that they have done will no longer receive the deserved punishment by the person. But their eternity will be spent with God in peace. The news about Jesus is peaceful, and it shows that God is peaceful. And it's no wonder that Jesus has the title of Prince of Peace that we hear about in Christmas readings a lot. Also, what Jesus has done gives us the Spirit. Now, we've been talking about how the fruit of the Spirit is the outworking of the Spirit that is in us. And we can see really clearly in this Bible verse from John. This is Jesus speaking, I should say. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So for those who are saved through Jesus, the Spirit of God is in them. It's comforting that you can see in that passage, this is Jesus speaking, saying that we have a Spirit who is an advocate for us. He is with us forever. He lives with us and he will be in us. There are other parts of the Bible that talk about how our bodies are a temple for the Spirit that dwells in them, which is really encouraging. And so for Christians, if we have this Spirit in us, it should show out in action. It should, one might say, it should bear some fruit. So here's a cartoon from Peanuts, before my time. It was written before I was born, but that's okay. Now, unlike... I'll let you have a little read. Is it big enough? Yes. Now, unlike Lucy here, our external actions should match our internal reality. External actions should match our internal reality. So, as I said before, I have 3 points thinking about how the internal reality of having the Spirit in us, for Christians, the Spirit is in them, how that might result in external actions of peace. That's my thinking. I'm going to talk about how... I guess that displayed, we should be living at peace with everyone, that peace should be active, and that it should result in sharing the good news of Jesus. Cool. So one of the clearest encouragements in the Bible to live peacefully is found in Romans. It says, this is Paul writing to a church in Rome. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." So it's pretty clear that Christians are called to live at peace with everyone. And everyone means everyone. That means the people that are easy to love, and the people that are hard to love. I feel like I'm stealing from Tim's sermon here. But I think, or for me at least, I think it can really come, to a crunch point when we're thinking about those who we might often disagree with. I think that's a hard kind of group of people to be peaceful with. And although I say that, I think that disagreeing with someone, even if it's about really fundamental core beliefs that you have, if you disagree, I don't think that's enough reason to avoid living peacefully with them. Because Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I think Paul here is recognizing that there are relationships and situations that will not be peaceful. And I think that's true. But for Christians, in all our actions, we should adopt and promote peace such that if it's not achieved, then it's not because of our doing. If we're not at peace with someone or in a certain situation, we should be able to say with confidence that we've tried and tried, and as far as we're concerned, we have sought our best to live at peace with that person. Now, I'm obviously thinking of a situation between two or more people, but you could kind of stretch it further. But it's as far as it depends on you. Do what you can to live at peace with others. And I think the current climate for Christians is a really good place to think about this, a really good challenging area. So I think in light of this, we need to think how we proclaim the gospel peacefully, how we defend it peacefully, and how we disagree peacefully with others. But I think, and I think this is well known, that sometimes people disagree poorly, and it really comes across very negatively. And I'm not thinking of Christians, I'm thinking of everyone. But I think as Christians, we should disagree with empathy, genuinely attempting to understand the other's viewpoint. And I think we should disagree with respect. That is, if we are disagreeing, of course. We need to disagree with respect, valuing the real weight and significance that that person's opinion may have in their life. So I think we can proclaim and defend the gospel as we should, but I think I don't think that should be at the cost of being empathetic and respectful so that we can live at peace with everyone. My second point is I think our peace should be active. So I think there's an unhelpful misconception that being peaceful is being passive, not doing anything. But when Jesus became a man and came into our world, was he passive? When he suffered and died so that we could have peace with God, was he passive? No, he intervened. I think that when there's a conflict, between people, action must be taken to restore peace. If you do nothing, it'll stay in conflict more often than not. Now, during the week, I am a maths teacher and I love it. But if I am in a situation where I see a child being bullied, doing nothing doesn't fix that conflict. It is my responsibility as a teacher to be involved in working with, obviously, the bully and the bullied. But I need to be active in restoring that. And I think that's a point that we should take away. But, I mean, not all of you are teachers. How can we, think about active ways of seeking peace? Well, perhaps we need to seek out someone whom we've hurt and who we need to ask forgiveness from to restore a relationship. Perhaps we need to forgive someone who's sought forgiveness from us. And I know that's hard, and I know that's another fruit of the Spirit, but I think that brings about peace between people. Now, I should point out that any peace that we may bring about in human relationships is not by our own doing. It's, as I've been saying, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit within Christians working in them, and then it displays externally. All right, my third point is that if we are to adopt and promote peace, which we should, then we need to share the good news about Jesus. That is a must. John 16:33, after teaching various things to his disciples, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I think it's really clear that it's only through Jesus that Christians can have peace. And I'm talking about that everlasting peace, that peace with God. And we need to tell people that the only way they are to experiencing that same true and everlasting peace is to know Jesus. And so, well, the peace that Christians have is selective. Those who do not follow God do not experience it. And that is tragic. But all are invited. And we need to be people that, I guess, spread that invitation. We need to be people that tell the good news about Jesus bringing peace to them. And I think that no, I guess, actions of peace that you can do can compare to telling someone about Jesus. If you do something that brings about temporary peace, that's great. If you bring about or work in, I guess, leading someone to Jesus so they can have eternal peace, how much better? Anything else is temporary, fleeting. So I'm confident that out of those three, the last is the most important. If we want to promote peace, we need to share the news of Jesus. And if you've accepted Jesus and you're maybe right now living in an unpeaceful situation, take heart from this verse. Jesus has overcome this world, and we will live peacefully with God forever in the new creation, in heaven. I guess the pains and the conflicts of our world, which are very real, will be no longer when we eternally and peacefully dwell with God, which is fantastic. But if you've not accepted Jesus, or maybe you're considering it, I hope that you want that everlasting peace and rest. And I hope that you yearn for it because it's available for you. It's there. It's yours if you accept Jesus. Now to conclude, so I think what Jesus has done shows us that God is peaceful, and what Jesus has done gives us the Spirit of God within us. And the way that might look in the way that we act is that we live at peace with everyone, we have active peace, and we share the good news of others. Why don't I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God of active peace. Thank you that you demonstrated this through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Thank you that your Spirit is in us, and help it to display peace in our lives. Help us to live peacefully with everyone and to act in ways that seek peace. Help us to tell other people about the good news of you, so that they may too experience peace with you. In Jesus' name, amen.